I'm Ed Gordon, and this is News and Notes. When Mwai Kibaki won the presidency of Kenya in 2002, his government ushered in new hope for a country previously stagnated by the 24-year rule of the former president. Today, however, Kenya finds itself in turmoil. The country has been rocked by deep economic troubles and a series of political scandals. All of this has the government in free fall. NPR's Africa correspondent Charlene Hunter-Galt spoke with NPR's Farai Chidea.
Tell us about this whole question of the leadership of the country, the constitutional referendum. What kinds of shakeups have been going on in the leadership?
Well, Africans are trying desperately now to take control of their own destiny, to put in new standards of behavior and good governance. And when Mwai Kibaki was elected after decades-long rule by one man, Daniel Arap Moi, he was seen as a savior, as someone who was going to come in and change the political landscape by instituting good government policies, by getting rid of corruption. But it has not turned out to be the dream that many Kenyans had hoped for. In fact, President Kibaki has been a real big disappointment to most Kenyans because the corruption continues, the unemployment is raging, the population is growing, and people are just upset. So he proposed changing the constitution. Now, there's still a lot of discussion about exactly what the constitutional changes would have meant. The opposition was very smart in convincing people, actually, that it was going to increase the powers of the presidency. And so people voted down this constitution, which was a resounding defeat for this president, even though there were some good things in it. For example, women who have never been able to have property in their own names, and that's true all over the continent. Women have a long way to go in terms of coming into their own on the continent, and this was one of the things that they lost in this referendum. But women I spoke with while I was in Nairobi seemed to think that this, at the moment, was a small price to pay to send the president a wake-up call that the people themselves want something different. And so what happened was that Kibaki abolished his cabinet and was due in the week to appoint a new one.
Charlene, I know that Kenya is a country with 40 different ethnic groups. Did ethnic differences affect the outcome of President Kibaki's referendum?
This constitutional referendum sharpened the ethnic divisions in the country because the president comes from the largest tribe in the country, which is the Kikuyu. It is the government of the first president, Jomo Kenyatta, whom many Americans are familiar with. And yet the 40 ethnic groups ganged up against Kibaki, the Kikuyu, because of this problem in the country of not enough work, of corruption, etc. So now the big question is, what kind of wake-up call was this? Is it going to force the president to deal seriously with corruption, to put in policies that will generate employment and growth in the country? Because now what the Kenyans have been left with is the same old document that the departing British government left them in 1963, and this at a time when Africans are trying for a renaissance, trying to take matters into their own hands. And yet, the upside of all of this, no matter what happens when Kibaki appoints his new cabinet, whether he has an inclusive one or not, the upside is that the people are becoming empowered. They realize that their voices count. And so it is part of the larger story in Africa now of people saying we want something different from what we've had.
Well, we look forward to you keeping us up to date on this and other issues on the continent. NPR correspondent Charlene Hunter-Galt, thanks so much.
Farai, it was great being with you.
That was NPR's Farai Chidea.